take our Bibles and turn to the book of James, James chapter number 1. James chapter number 1. We'll read verses 1 through 4, and then I'll give you what the Lord has laid upon my heart for today. The Bible says in James 1, beginning of verse number 1, James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greeting. My brethren, count it all joy which you fall into divers temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. Let's pray. Father, we love you. We thank you, Father, for your perfect will for this evening's services. Thank you for the testimonies. Thank you for the prayer requests, Lord. And I pray you'll work according to your perfect will. And Lord, I pray now for the preaching and teaching of your word, Lord, that you would speak to the hearts of your people, Father. Thank you for challenging my heart in this area. I pray, Father, that same Holy Spirit of God that spoke to my heart would speak to other people's hearts as well, Lord, as you see fit to bring it into their life. And Lord, when it's all said and done, we'll thank you for it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen and amen. The Apostle Paul declared in Galatians 6 and verse number 17, he said that he bore in his body the marks of the Lord Jesus Christ. Of course, no doubt he was referring to the physical scars that he received from his multiple beatings, from the time he was literally beaten, shipwrecked, and peril by robbers, and storm, and all those different things. I'm not speaking about physical marks today. I want to speak about a spiritual mark of being a born-again child of God. And I think one of those marks ought to be this. It ought to be the mark of patience in a Christian's life. And so I've entitled this message, The Mark of a Christian, Patience. And as the Lord allows us over the next couple of weeks, we might continue to look at these different marks. I think they're important for us to understand and know what they are. So if I were to say, what does it mean to be patient? How would you answer that? What does it mean to be patient? You say, I don't know, I'm not patient. Wait. All right, that's good. What else? Long-suffering. Great answer, too. What else? Wait for God. Yes, Miss Gail. Pardon me? Slow to speak. Zip your lips, huh? Is that personal? Or I'm only kidding. Praise the Lord. Amen. We all need to have that. So Webster's defines patience as bearing pains or trials calmly or without complaint, being steadfast despite opposition or difficulty or adversity, or not hasty or impetuous. And so we find that all those definitions that you gave me are just really another words for exactly what Webster says in his dictionary. Literally, it might mean this. We ought to be willing to suffer. We ought to be willing to suffer for the Lord. It means that we ought to have some self-control in our life. It means that we have the ability to wait and not rush into things. And I think that's one of the hardest things for you and I. Most of us can have semi-self-control, and most of us would be willing to suffer if we felt that's what God had for us. But really, the ability to wait and not to rush into things, that's a whole different ballgame whatsoever. And the thing, as a mature believer in Christ, we ought to be exhibiting and demonstrating and practicing this idea of patience in our lives today. You know, in the lifestyle that we live in today, there's no patience in our lifestyle, is there? Everything is rush, get there. You know, sometimes I get in trouble because I don't text back in 2 seconds after a text comes my way. I'm like, what do we do before we had texting, right? We talked to you after we got home, or when we got home, we called you back, or, you know, listen, we don't have patience anymore. We have, you know, minute popcorn, and we stand around tapping our toes, wondering how long it's going to be. I can't believe it, a minute's so long. We don't really have any patience. And that patience with each other also has worked out to be oftentimes we don't have patience with God, amen? And so I believe this, that we need to be willing to have the ability to wait and not rush into things and let God work inside of our life. And so we sometimes I believe we enter into our church services the exact same way. We come in the door and we say, okay, pastor, make it quick and painless. And let's get back out the door. Sometimes we say, let's get it over with, amen. Or maybe this, I come here to get out, amen. No, you don't come here to get out. You come here to worship God and hear the preaching and teaching of God's word. You don't come here to get out exactly at 12 o'clock or exactly at 7 o'clock or whatever, 7:30 on Sunday nights. Listen to the word of God for just a moment. In Psalm 37, in verse number 7, the first part of that verse, the Bible says, rest in the Lord. Can you tell me what the rest of that verse says? Wait patiently for him. Who said that? All right. Hey, praise the Lord. Amen. Thank you. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Now, we all like the rest part, don't we? But the idea is not resting in ourselves. We rest in the Lord. That means putting our trust in him and wait patiently for him. I want to talk about the marks of a Christian and patience. Notice some examples of patience. I think the first example in the Bible of patience that I wrote down for the message this evening is that of Moses. You know, God had given a great responsibility, and some Bible scholars believe it was over 2 million people. Some even say it could be upwards of 3 million people to lead out of Egypt into God's promised land. So you think about the job that Moses had and the people that he had. If you think about it, they were unfaithful to God. Not only were they unfaithful, but they were definitely ungrateful and began to grumble, complain just about as soon as they got out of the land of Egypt, particularly when they got to the Red Sea and God did a great work for them. So they murmured and he complained not only against God, but they murmured and complained against their leader, which was Moses, to the point that God said this. Take your Bibles and turn to Exodus 32, Exodus chapter number 32. We see that God basically says this in Exodus 32. We'll look at verses 7 through verse number 10. That God basically says, okay, Moses, a bunch of heathen backslidden people, he said, I'm going to kill them and start all over again with you and your family. Notice in Exodus 32, in verse number 7 through verse number 10. The Bible said in Exodus 32 and verse 7, and wherefore discourage ye the heart of the children of Israel from going over into the land which the Lord hath given them? Thus did your fathers, which I sent them from Kadesh Barnea to see the land, and from when they went up into the valley of Eshcol and saw the land, discouraged the heart of the children of Israel. They should go not into the land which the Lord had given them. I'm not reading the right verses, sorry. Exodus 32. Is that what you're reading? What are you reading? 32:7. Ah. Well, we had some of the kind of right text in. Wrong scenario, but is it end up going to be the right thing I was talking about? Okay, let's look here. In Exodus 32. Needs some new glasses, I guess. Exodus 32, verse number 7. I apologize for that. I do know where Exodus is, I promise you. Exodus 32 and verse number 7. And the Lord said unto Moses, go, get thee down, for thy people which thou broughtest out of the land of Egypt have corrupted themselves. And they have turned aside quickly out of the way which I commanded them, that they have made them a molten calf, and have worshipped and have sacrificed thereunto. He said, and these be thy gods, O Israel, which have brought it up out of the land of Egypt. And Moses said, and the Lord said unto Moses, I have seen this people, and behold, it is a stiff-necked people. Now therefore, let me alone, that my wrath may wax hot against them, that I may consume them, and I will make of thee a great nation. But you know what? We find that God did not do that. And we find that Moses was patient with them year after year for those 40 long years. Moses never quit on God. He never quit on the people. Why? Because he had the patience. I think about another Old Testament person who had great patience, and that was of Job. You see, God allowed Job to go through trials in his life that you and I will never have to face anything like it in what Job did. Just think about it. He lost his wife. He lost his family, his children. He lost his cattle. He lost all the good things that he had in his life. And then if that wasn't enough, we find that his so-called friends really forsook him. And when they did come to see him, they came and really just rebuked him for his lack of faith. And all of that led him to question God to why he was even born. Let's look in the book of Job. Job chapter 3. Let's see if I can find Job right next to Psalms. Job chapter number 3. If you find Psalms, just keep looking left. Job chapter number 3. And we find in verses 1 through 12. Who would read? Let's read this together. Who would read verses 1, 2, and 3 tonight? Who would read 1, 2, and 3? All right, John, who would read 4, 5, and 6? All right, Nola, who would read 7, 8, 9? 7, 8, 9. Everyone else forget how to read? All right, thank you. And who would read 10, 11, and 12? All right, thank you. And then when I ask you, we need to read verse 20. Who would read that? Verse 20, thank you, and verse 23. Who would read verse 23? All right, Debbie. All right, go ahead, let's read Job 3, 1 through 12, straight through. Yes, and he's really crying out to God. And he said, "God, why'd you even live?" Basically, is what he's saying. He said, "Why'd you let me be born out of my mother's womb, and why'd you let me feed on my mother's breast and be able to sustain myself?" He said he's questioning it, and so we find that the great trial of his life led him to this point where he is forsaken by his wife. His wife said, "Curse God and die." His friends eventually show up, and his so-called friends, and they don't really do him any favors, and they try to point fingers at him. And Job kept saying, "But listen, I'm a righteous man, and I do right in the eyes of God." And he begins to question why God even allowed him to be born. Let's look at who would read verse 20. Who's reading that for us? All right, and then verse number 23. All right. That Hebrew word, in verse number 20 for wherefore is the same word that's translated why in the previous verses. So throughout all this passage of scripture, we find him asking God, why? Why did I have to live? Why did I have to suck on my mother's breast? Why did I have to be born? And he goes on and asking over and over again, why? I want you to understand this, that it's not wrong to ask God why. It's not wrong for you and I to say, "God, I don't understand this. You know, I'm trying to serve you. I love you. I believe I'm a righteous person. I receive Christ as my Savior. I don't understand why I'm going through that." It's not wrong to ask God why. Job asked God why. And Job was a very, very patient man, perhaps even more patient than you and I will ever be. But throughout it all, in Job chapter 1 and verse 21, we find him saying this, "Naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord giveth, and the Lord taketh away." Notice these last couple of words, "Blessed be the name of the Lord." And then I'm reminded about James chapter 5 and verse number 11, where James writes, it says, "Behold, we count them happy which endure," or in other words, that have patience. "We have heard of the patience of Job, and have seen the end of the Lord. The Lord is very pitiful and of tender mercy." So we find that Moses was an example of patience with the nation of Israel. Job was very patient and always suffering. Then we find another one in the New Testament who's very patient, and I can't help but think of the Apostle Paul. And we know that Paul had some physical infirmities. The Bible describes by his own hand that he had a thorn in the flesh, and we don't exactly know what that is. Perhaps it might have been Paul's eyesight that he had trouble with. It's just speculation. We don't know what it is, but regardless of whatever it was, Paul had patience, and get this, Paul had endurance. And as he closes out his ministry. He writes to Timothy, declares the marks of distinction that were apparent in his life. In 2 Timothy 3 and 10, we'll not turn there because our time is almost gone this evening. Paul says this as he writes to Timothy in 2 Timothy 3:10, but thou hast fully known, get some of these marks that Paul talks about himself. He says, you know my doctrine, and he knows my manner of life. And by the way, your doctrine should reflect your manner of life, and your manner of life reflects your purpose. He said, you know my faith, you know my long-suffering. He said, you know my charity. These are all marks that Paul was speaking about himself to Timothy. But then lastly, he closes out verse 10 with this, that he says, thou hast fully known my, can you guess what it is? Patience. Paul was a patient man. Moses was a patient man. Job was a patient man. I think of some New Testament congregations also were patient. The church in Thessalonica, 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 4, the Bible says this, so that we ourselves glory in you and the church of God for your patience and faith and all your persecutions and tribulation that ye endure. So Paul's writing to that wonderful New Testament church, and he said, I understand your persecutions. I know about your tribulations. And he said, I want to congratulate you. He said, so that we ourselves glory in you, the church of God, for your patience and faith. I think about the church of Ephesus, our Lord spoke about in Revelation 2 and verse 2. He said, I know thy works and thy labor and thy, what's the next word? Patience. This word patience, boy, you know, it'd be really behoove you to do a word study on this word patience. It pops up more than you would really like it to pop up, be honest with you. I know thy patience and how that thou canst not bear them which are evil, and thou hast tried them which say they are apostles and are not, and found them liars. And I think also the church at Thyatira in Revelation 2 and verse 19. Again, the Lord says, I know thy works in charity and service and faith. And guess what the next one is? And thy what? Patience. And thy works. And the last to be more than the first. So we find that the Bible has a lot to say about Old Testament and New Testament saints, some local New Testament church, some examples of patience. But then notice for the next few minutes the qualities of patience. The qualities of patience. You say, what's the quality of patience, Pastor Dave? Well, it's the ability to wait. The most difficult part of the battle is waiting for it to start. You know, I wasn't involved in Operation Enduring Freedom and some of those later battles that Pastor James was, and maybe some of your family might have been. I was in the old school war, Operation Desert Storm, you know, Desert Shield. First, it was a shield, and then we had a storm where we just went in and, you know, and decimated them. That's the war I was in. You know how long they built up? They built troops up for months and months and months. It was over, I believe, a year and a half. They built up the troops. They trained the troops in the desert. And so, you know what happens? When you give an Army guy or an Air Force pilot some bombs on his airplane and say, there's the enemy, and you give him a gun and tanks and say, there's the enemy, he's going to go stir crazy wanting to go over there and get the enemy. But you know what? They can't go. They have to have patience. They have to wait till the order comes from the top on down, from the commander-in-chief of the United States Armed Forces, down through the service general, the generals in charge of each service, until it goes out to the command, and all the way down to the brigade, all the way down to the last sergeant that gives the order to go out and let's go across the berm and let's go kill the Iraqis. And so the most difficult part is having to wait, and we must not rush ahead. We must learn to wait. I think of Isaiah 40 and verse 31 where it says, but they that wait upon the Lord, get that wait upon the Lord. In other words, having patience in the Lord, renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings of eagles. They shall not run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Why aren't they going to faint? Why are they not going to be weary? How are they going to run? Because they waited patiently for the Lord. We must wait patiently for the Lord. So we see the ability to wait, and that and something else about patience means patience means resignation. It means we must resign ourselves to do the will of God. You see, here's our problem. We want to do the will of God if it matches up with our will. We want to do the will of God if it's in our timing, regardless of what God's timing is. There was a story told of a man who visited institution for children who were deaf and unable to speak, and he was an infidel. And he went up to the blackboard, and he wrote a very cruel question on the blackboard. And the question he wrote to those deaf and mute children was this: if God loves you, then why did he make you as you are? One little girl raised her hand, and their teacher told her to come up to the board. She wrote on the board, Matthew 11:26, "Even so, Father, for it seemed good in thy sight." Boy, what's she saying? She's saying, listen, that I trust in God. I resign myself to be in God's will. You see, patience is really understanding that you and I serve a sovereign God who has a plan. He has a purpose in everything that he does. Everything that he does, good, bad, ugly, indifferent to you and I, it's all in God's plan. Job said this in Job 13:15, "Though he slay me," speaking about God, "though God slay me, yet will I trust him." Can you imagine yourself saying that? God, I'm sitting here in a pile of ashes, scraping my oozing sores with a potsherd, and he said, "God, yet if you kill me, I'm still going to trust you." Jesus said this in Luke 22:42. He said, "Not my will, but thy will be done." Boy, have you resigned yourself to follow God's will in your life? If you have, you can say then you've really understood, like Moses and Paul and Job, that you have real patience in your life. Patience means something else. Patience also means endurance. That means over the long haul. It's just not patient while I finish, since I'm overtime a few moments, minutes here this evening. That's not really what patience means. Patience means, are you patient for the long haul? That means day in and day out. The race that Paul talks about is not a sprint, but it's a long distant marathon. That's what patience is. It's not something we have today and forget tomorrow. It's something we have today, tomorrow, and every day in the future behind us. And when we get to the finish line of that long race, we'll meet Jesus, and we'll be rewarded for our faithfulness of our patience. If you think about this, as far as the secular world is, and maybe Ms. Nola could testify to this, only about 5% of all new businesses that start last long enough to become a success. They give up. They run out of cash. They can't afford it. They're done. And I thought about that. You know, many people have joined Sharon Baptist Church since even I've been here, but only a very few stick it out. They come forward, receive Christ as their Savior, supposedly possess Christ as their Savior. But you know what? They don't stick it out. They don't have patience. They're not in for the long haul. You know, here's the truth. This auditorium that you built 18 years ago, however long it would, could not hold all the people that have made a profession of faith in Christ and made a commitment and a promise to be a church member and a family member here at Sharon Baptist Church. We'd have to double or triple this auditorium to be able to hold all those people. I think about preachers are giving up on the ministry. Maybe sometimes it's a lot of their fault, and maybe sometimes they've been gone through the ringer from their churches. Missionaries are coming back from the field faster than we can get them new ones back to the field. We need to have patience for the long run. Jesus never promised one time that our life would be easy. He promised there'd be problems, and along that way, he said that we needed to have patience. But he did give us this one word for us, that he promised to never leave nor forsake us. So as we close, our lives ought to be characterized by patience. Are you known as a patient person? If not, why not? You ought to be. We saw in the scripture over and over again that we ought to have patience. It's a spiritual mark of Jesus Christ. Moses had patience. Job had patience. Paul had patience. The local New Testament church has patience. We need it in every area of our life, but especially when we serve the Lord, when we do our great work for the Lord. You say, well, how do we get patience, Pastor Dave? If you say we need patience, oh, I like to have some of this patience. How do I get patience? Let me tell you how. Pray for patience. pray for patience. And I know what you're thinking. You said, oh, no, Pastor, I'm not going to pray for patience because the Bible said tribulation worketh patience. So if I'm going to have patience, that means I'm going to have tribulations that come into my life. That may be true, but guess what? But patience matures us in Jesus Christ. And that's why the Bible teaches us simply that tribulation worketh patience in your life. And maybe you're not patient because you never learned when tribulations came your way. You never learned the lesson that God would have you. But patience matures us in Christ. And all of us here today, including myself, need to grow more like Him. So you trust Him tonight. You rest calmly in Him tonight. And you wait upon Him and let His work have patience in you. One mark of a Christian is patience. May God help us have patience as some of those people did. We look